We can get into that in a little bit later, because there was many women there, the untold multitude. I don't know. It was just surmised that it was very possibly his wife. But these two individuals did not believe that Jesus had risen from the grave. Say, well, how do you know that? Read verse 25. Jesus speaking, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets, what all the prophets had spoken, or all that the prophets had spoken. So you have two individuals walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus that was part of this group that did not believe. Oh, slow of heart to believe. And so understanding that they did not believe helps me understand this passage much better. And there's many people walking down the road of life that don't believe. How many people do we know? I've witnessed to my cousin since I was saved at a very young age, 8 years older or so, off and on through our whole life, and he doesn't believe. And I said to him one day, I said, John, man, we're best friends. We're cousins, but we're best friends. Grew up together. He lived with us a majority of my childhood. And I said, we've spent a lifetime together. And what a shame it's going to be that one day we're going to step out into eternity and I'm going to go one direction and you're going to go another. Because he does not believe. And so, verses 14 and 15. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And can I say that Christ wants to walk with you and I down the road of life. Yeah. Amen. Right? Here's two individuals that did not believe in the resurrection. We're going to see that here in a bit. We'll get into that. But they didn't believe that Jesus had rose from the grave, that he was still alive. And Jesus went and walked with him. And I'm going to tell you that there's no better person to walk with us down the road of life than the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many times, I just think in my own life, how many times that I know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God pricked my heart for something and I just kind of dismissed it. Sad, right? And so here's these two individuals, and it says there in verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. You see, their eyes were shut because of unbelief. Jesus said, O ye fools. And so you have these two individuals walking down the road to Emmaus, blinded. Their eyes were withholding to spiritual things because of unbelief. And so how many of us are blind to the things of Christ because of unbelief? That's a question to ask ourselves. That's a question I have to ask myself. How many things in my life am I blinded to because maybe of some unbelief somewhere? That's why those that know me, I'm not bragging on myself. I don't. It actually speaks to my demise or dismay, because I'm always saying, Lord, give me eyes to see with, ears to hear with, and a heart to perceive with. And I mean that with all my heart. I don't want to be spiritually blinded. I don't. I want a better understanding of the scriptures. Every time I read them, I say, Lord, reveal to me what I need to know here. Reveal to me what you've got here. I can read the Bible a million times and get something more every time I read it. Right? And a lot of times it's withholded to us because we're not ready for it. I get that. But in these individuals, it was withheld because of their unbelief. See, they were looking for Christ, but they did not believe. In verse number 17, and he said unto them, what manner of, this is Jesus speaking, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? See, what are our conversations about? Can I say that these individuals were sad because they did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I have to believe that. The Sadducees, they're Sadducee, right? Well, what, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus is saying, well, what type of what are you talking about here? And are so sad. I'll read verse 18 through 24. It says, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there these 3 days? And he said unto them, what things? And he said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. He says it's only been 3 days. Lost my spot here. I looked up. 22, thank you. And a certain woman, also our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that, they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. You see, they were talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? The gospel and what Christ had done for us should be the main topic of our conversation down the road of life. Right? So here's two individuals walking from leaving Jerusalem all upset and sad because they thought that Jesus Christ was going to be the Redeemer and they crucified him, put him in a grave his body's not there, and they don't believe the resurrection. Right? And that's what they're talking about. One to another. Wow. Brother, sister, can you believe that, you know, all this time, 3 years we followed this man. 3 years we went from place to place and place to place. And oh, he did all these wonderful works and he did all these great things. And now, voila. Right? No more. Right? Voila, that's, never mind. Marietta's looking at me like, what are you talking? Why are you talking that way? Well, that if something's, you know, if there's no more, it's voila, okay, in Tagalog. So, anyways, but they're saying no more. Maybe they're thinking in their minds, a wasted 3 years of our life. We even put our life in jeopardy because of this man. He was hated amongst our religious leaders. They wanted to crucify him and kill him. But can I say that our conversations reveal what is in our hearts and minds? Yeah. Right? And what was in the heart and mind of Cleopas and this other individual? That's what they were talking about. Let's back up now to verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You know, can I say that sometimes sometimes we have a false expectation of God. These two individuals and some of the multitude had a false expectation of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thought he was going to be the Redeemer. Right? And our expectations are based on our view of God. Can I say a false view, false expectations? How many times have I been, but Lord, why did, you know, I sure wanted this. Right? And this isn't what I expected. And it always goes back to my view. Right? It really does. I think last time I spoke, I said something, talked about our view of God and how Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. Right? Our view, our expectations of God will be disappointing, highly disappointed, if you have the false perception of God. Amen. Right? In verse number 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe, all the prophets had spoken. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Can I say that we need to be swift to believe what the Bible teaches us about life and Christ? Oh, ye fool, slow to believe. How many times has the pastor got up and preached a message and you walked out? I walked out. Somebody walked out. I don't think I quite believe that. Here's a man that has put, you know, probably 40 hours of study into a 1 hour message. Do you think he's not going to be bringing what he knows? And what he believes? And besides all that, do you not have the Holy Spirit that teaches you? Now the Bible, you know, I believe in being a Berean. I want to be a Berean. If Pastor says something, he has. And I've had to go back and study and say, oh man, hallelujah. Right? But had I not studied it out, I might be, you know, having a false expectation here. Right? The wrong expectation from the wrong view of God. You know, that's how people fall into the trap of this prosperity Christianity. Right? False view of God. False expectations. And it's taught all around us. It's on the TV. It's on the radio. I've gotten to the point where I don't listen to half that stuff. Really. I'll try to find somebody from, 30 years ago speaking it. Ah, okay, I'm going to listen. Because you got too many Joel Osteens out there. They all want to mimic Joel Osteen. Why? Because he's written all these books and he's filthy rich. Right? But he's given a false expectation of God, a false view of God. Right? Years ago when I was a kid, there was this one evangelist, and you all know what I'm talking about. He said, just send us $30 and we'll send you a piece of this handkerchief. And we prayed over and God's going to heal you. You remember that? Guy got filthy rich. It's a false view, false expectations. How many people fell into that trap? Because they have a false view of God and a false expectation. Back to verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into to his glory? See, he's saying you fools, slow of heart to believe. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Can I say that? Can I ask you this? Is Christ glorified in my life? Or is he glorified in your life? Now, I understand that Christ entering into his glory is not what I'm not saying that, is he, but it brings the question to mind that if Christ is going to enter into, he had entered into his glory here, now I'm not going to get into the doctrines. I studied several hours on that. And, you could get all over the board. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ entered into his glory. Sits at the right hand of the Father. But, it begs the question, is he glorified in your life? Is he glorified in my life? See, Christ is not glorified in our life until he is the center of our life. Right? John spoke Sunday night. Christ plus anything is it equal? Oh, Christ plus nothing. Equals everything. Right? And I was thinking, I was writing down in my notes on my phone, Christ plus anything equals nothing. Amen. But, you see, Christ has to be the center of our life in order for him to be glorified in our life. If I put my wife on the throne instead of Christ, he's not glorified in my life. Right? If I put my children on the throne instead of Christ, he's not glorified in my life. Can I say that if I put the church on the throne instead of Christ, he's not glorified in my life? Now, believe me, church comes right along with Christ. But without going into a tangent, Christ needs to be everything in your life. He'll take second to nothing. And he'll take second to no one. And if he is second to anyone or anything, he's not glorified in your life. And so it begs the question to search my heart and ask myself, is there anything in my life that stops Christ from being glorified in my life? If so, Lord, show me, please. Show me. Because I want God to be glorified in my life. And I can tell you that my cousin that I spoke of that doesn't really believe, he says he's almost been persuaded, just like Pontius, like Pilate, right? I mean, not Pilate, but, Here. There you go, Felix. Almost thou persuadest me. Right? Was it because Christ wasn't center of my life that I couldn't persuade him? Is it because Christ wasn't glorified in my life that he couldn't see the glory of Christ and he couldn't see the truth of the scriptures? I'm not going to say that's the reason, but I have to ask myself that reason. After 50 plus years of saying, John, you need to get saved. One preacher said, saved from what? Right? What are they going to get saved from? They don't know what they're getting saved from. They're not going to get saved. They have to know that they're getting saved from something. You have to get them lost, right, Pastor? Got to get them lost. If you're not getting them lost, they're not really going to get saved. Saved from what? Christ needs to be, can I just say, he needs to be the most important thing in my life. In verse number 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. See, Christ wants to reveal himself as he wants to reveal himself to these two individuals. But he wants to reveal himself to us through the scriptures. He went back to all the writings of Moses, and from there walked them through the Bible, or the Old Testament. Walked them through the Old Testament and revealing himself through the scriptures of the Old Testament. Right? And that's the only way that Christ is going to be revealed in my life or in your life or anybody else's life is if it's through the scriptures. Now, I don't remember who said this, but someone had said years ago, and I've never forgotten the gist of it, God is so holy that he can only be known through the scriptures. Right? How much of the scriptures do you know? How much of the scriptures do you read? Pastor Crabtree speaks about, after all of these years, that God is still revealing stuff to him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right? He's yet to arrive. You haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. No. Right? Right? I can't get enough of the scriptures. Now, I know I get bored sometimes reading through the Bible. I'm not going to lie. But then the next day I'll get up and start reading and I can't break away from the table. Oh, God gets my attention and I start, you know, reading through and cross-referencing. And I write in my Bible every time. I've looked at things and cross-referenced and I write it there and I'll spend hours researching a word maybe or a phrase or something like that through the scriptures. And I'll read different commentaries and things like that. Trying to get a better grasp, a better understanding of my God. verse 28 and 29. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. You see, they wanted to spend more time with Christ. At this point, they still don't know that it was Christ. But he began to expound upon the scriptures, starting with Moses, of the things speaking of himself. And when it was time for them to go, and in this individual, which was Christ, to go on further, they wanted to spend more time. Wait. Why don't you come in? It's getting late. Why don't you come in and just stay with us? Now, I had written somewhere in one of my Bibles that you got to be careful, because sometimes you're entertaining angels unaware. Right? And here, these two were entertaining the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Or wanting to. See, the more time they spent with Christ, the more of him they wanted. Can I tell you that the more time I spend in the Bible, the more I want? I'm serious. The more I want. And there's times that I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm preparing for whatever reason. Sometimes I'm just reading and studying. But every time I'm reading and studying, God's preparing me for something somewhere, right? So I got to pay attention. And I got dyslexia. I have to read it 3 or 4 times to get it, guys. I really do. I ain't kidding you. I'm reading the Bible, and all of a sudden I jump down two lines. I going back and forth. Boy, that's hard for me. You know, you'll notice some people get a card and they'll run that card down so they don't lose their place. Why? Because they got a dyslexia. Right? And sometimes my eyes will wander up. So when I'm reading sometimes and you see that, understand, I got dyslexia. It's something I have, and I've had it since a child, since I was born. I didn't know that. You know? I was colorblind too. Almost flunked kindergarten because I couldn't get the colors right. And so I cheated. I learned to read the label. It'd say purple. I'd look through the crayons until I found purple, and I'd color purple. It'd say yellow. I go, oh, there's yellow. And I would color through yellow. But the more I study, the more I want. I'm sincere about that. And that's why sometimes, you know, when I say, you know, I say that I over-prepare. That's because I want it. It's there. And the Lord is speaking to me. And God is revealing himself through the scriptures to me. And believe me, there's many, many portions of the scripture which you have to understand that this is who God is. And he says don't do it because it displeases him. He don't want you to do it. Right? And he says he wants you to do something. It's because it pleases him and he wants you to do it. That's getting to know God. Right? Why do people do the things that they do? Because they have a false perspective of God. Right? Verse 30 and 31. Almost done, believe it or not. I really pushed through the first part because I've got to get to the end. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. You see, But a question. What might have happened if they had not invited Christ to come and stay with them? Right? What might have happened? Now, we know that they did, and we know that their eyes were open. But how many people will not take that step of faith? And I hate to use the word and invite Christ into their heart, because the Bible doesn't necessarily say that, but that's what happens. He knocks at the door. If any man will open up, he will come into them and sup with them. Into them, not in with them. And the Holy Spirit knocks on somebody's heart when you've witnessed to them. Open up, open up. And I believe really that's probably what was happening here, is the Holy Spirit was knocking on their heart when he began to expound the scriptures of himself in the Old Testament. And they said, hey, come. And I'm not saying that that's a picture of salvation in any way, shape, or form. But I'm telling you, that's what happens to a lot of people when the Holy Spirit deals with them and they don't invite them to come and be a part of their life, to repent and to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they just go on. I don't believe their eyes would have been opened if they didn't invite Jesus Christ. That's just a question. That's just me saying it. It's not written there. I have nothing to back it up. But that's what's upon my heart when I read this. Right? Once they invited him in, he came in and he sat down and he broke bread and their eyes were open. You see, it was not until they desired to spend more time with Christ that their eyes were open. It's what the scripture's teaching me here. And so, when your Bible's sitting there on the table, and you get up in the morning and you make yourself something to eat, drink your coffee, whatever, and you just leave the Bible there and you walk on by, you're not desiring to spend more time with God. And so I make it a habit every morning to read my Bible. Now, I'm not saying I study an hour a day every day. Sometimes I read a chapter and I think about it and something happens and I've got to go but then there's the next day I'll get there and I'll go back and read that chapter, and next thing you know I'm searching through the scriptures, and before I know it it's 12 o'clock and I got to get up and make me lunch. Right? And sometimes the wife come home and say, "What'd you do all day?" Really not a whole lot, honey. I've been sitting right here in this chair since 7 o'clock this morning, 6:30 this morning. Sometimes it's earlier than that. Why? Because I can't get enough. The more, when you begin and you start, the more you study, the more you look into the scriptures, the more you want. And it wasn't until it wasn't until they desired to spend more time with Christ that their eyes were opened. See, the same thing is with us. The more we spend learning of God and His Word, the more enlightened we become. Right? When Pastor gets up there on Sunday morning, he opens up the scriptures and he begins to preach. The Holy Spirit begins to say, "Hey, you studied that. Hey, don't you remember? Right? Well, maybe it wasn't this week, but last week, 2 weeks ago, you were right here in this passage. Right? So, like I said, the same with us. The more we spend learning of God and His Word, the more enlightened we become. In Matthew 11:29, it states this, Jesus speaking, saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Right? Learn of me. How are you going to learn of him? In the scriptures. Right? In verse 32. And they said one to another, did not, I love this. Some of you'll get it, some of you might not. But did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us along the way? And while he opened us the scriptures. Right? I love that. See, they spent time getting to know Christ. Right? And they spent time with him in the scriptures. And when they spent time with Christ, their hearts began to burn with them. The same thing is with us. When we spend time with Christ, our hearts will burn within us. That's that time I'm talking about when, you know, dyslexia, no dyslexia, whatever. I'm reading and I'm studying, and I'm getting it, and the Lord's speaking to me, and I'm loving it. My heart is burning within me. And I can't get enough of it. And I can't wait to tell others of it. Right? And so that's what Pastor Scott goes through when he studies for 4 hours for a 30-minute message. He gets so much, his heart is burning within him, and he's wanting to reveal what the Holy Spirit has talked to him about. And that's what happens. And so when somebody gets up to preach and he says, man, it's time to go, it's time to go. Well, hey, hold on. Right? Hold on. Did not his heart burn within him? Right? I believe that. Verse 34 through 35. Saying the Lord is risen, well, verse 33, and they rose up the same hour. Now understand they traveled for a good part of the day. And they rose the same hour. And returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. There's that untold multitude again, right? Unnumbered multitude. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things had were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. You know, I like looking at the scriptures and reading the scriptures as breaking of the bread. It's the bread of life. The word of life. And as we get into the scriptures and we read, our heart begins to burn in with us, right? But I want you to know, when we spend time with Christ, that when their eyes were open, they spent time with Christ and their eyes were open, their heart burned within them. What did they do? They immediately went and told the others. You see, when we spend time with Christ, we become a witness, whether you like it or not. Right? It's in you. Right? I can remember when I first got saved, I couldn't wait to run and tell my friends about it. And I cornered them on the corner. We were playing marbles and I cornered them and one of them had some toilet tissue or whatever and they started stuffing it in their ears because I was telling them about my Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't get it out enough. My heart burning within me. Let's pray as the pastor comes. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for allowing me to share what you spoke to my heart about this week. And Lord, I pray that you'll just bless, guide, and direct in Christ's name.